powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Seahawks are taking on the Titans for their home opener this Sunday. It'll also be the first time fans are back at Lumen Field, back at the stadium at all since 2019. As a reminder, you guys, please remember to bring your masks regardless of your vaccination status, and a reminder to have your vaccine card or digital copy of it, or a proof of a negative COVID test 72 hours prior. So make sure to bring all that with you. Seahawks.com, you can find more information for that. Joining us now to help with our preview, it is Seahawks pre- and post-game show host Michael Bumpus. Bump, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're great. I mean, looking ahead to this game, it seems like a great opportunity for Seattle's offense against the Titans' defense. So let's start there. When you looked at what Tennessee has struggled with, where's the big area of opportunity for Seattle?
I think it's going to be throwing the ball down the field. I mean, they have some guys in the secondary that have some experience, but nothing out there that really just wows me right now. And then just with the versatility of this offense in the pass game, it's going to keep them, the Titans, on their toes. So I think if Russell Wilson can do his best Kyler Murray impression and get outside the pocket and extend plays if he needs to, there are going to be some big plays to be made. But if we don't see that, if we don't see Russell Wilson getting outside the pocket and doing his thing, that just means that this offense is clicking, they're on rhythm, they're on time, and things are looking good.
You know, Bump, we've been talking about pretty much all show long how we believe that this game is ultimately going to fall on the defense and the success that they would have trying to slow down, you know, the elite players that the Tennessee Titans bring to the table in Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown. Is that doable with this group?
I think it is doable. And, you know, people are going to look at the Arizona Cardinals game and say, okay, just do what they did. That's what I'm seeing on Twitter. Just do what the Cardinals did and you'll be fine. Easier said than done. Chandler Jones had 5 sacks. But I think what they did do, they did a great job of getting penetration and getting in the backfield. Like, Derrick Henry is not a guy who is going to shake a couple guys, break some ankles, and then get loose. He's going to hit the hole at 100 miles an hour and try to get downhill. If these guys can get in the backfield and make him take those false steps and those stutter steps, I think that's going to control the run game. Now, as far as the pass game, you just have to be in position. I expect A.J. Brown and Julio Jones to make plays. They're both big receivers. Julio Jones had 700 yards in 7 games last year. Still showed that he can get it done. We all know A.J. Brown, 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. These guys are good receivers. So what do you do with these big guys? You got to be a pest. You got to be a gnat. You got to always be around. You got to be pulling out the jerseys. You got to be attacking the ball out the air. They're going to make their plays, but it's all about containing them. I think the Hawks are more likely to contain Derrick Henry at this point than they are on the outside. But you never know, man. It's the NFL. Anybody can get off.
It seems like a really simple question, but I'm going to ask it anyways because it could be a factor. It's a big chance of showers on Sunday. Could be some nasty weather. How does rain affect all of this?
If we were talking Washington High School football on a Friday, I would say, you know what? The ball is going to be wet. You might put on some grass. It's going to be slippery. The rain definitely changes things, but this is the NFL. They do a great job of keeping the footballs dry. You're playing on turf, so that's not really a factor. Rain definitely plays into it, but Russell doesn't have his greatest games in the rain. But who really does? Rain will be a factor, but I wouldn't expect like a sloppy little giant type game because it's raining out there.
Bump, the one aspect of this game that really makes, I think, a lot of people nervous is thinking of the aspect of A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, against DJ Reed and Trey Flowers. So what is the best thing that can happen in this matchup that will help those two guys be able to take on a very difficult task in arguably two receivers that belong in the top 10 in this league?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, no doubt about it. You know, you got DJ Reed, who's not the biggest guy. You have Trey Flowers, who is typically in position but doesn't always make the play. I think the best thing that can happen to them is that they just make one or two plays early. Once you do that, you make one or two plays early, your confidence starts to go, right? You start to believe in yourself. Now, these guys have confidence. They're in the National Football League for a reason, but you need those type of plays to get you going. So early, man, if DJ Reed can come downhill and break up a play, if Trey Flowers can go up and get a pass breakup, I think that's going to help their confidence. But the main thing is you cannot be out of position, because with these two receivers, if you're out of position, they get behind you, there's house calls waiting to happen.
Playing in the shadow of what the Legion of Boom used to be is never easy. Do you think people are a little too hard on Trey Flowers?
Yes, I think they're extremely too hard on Trey Flowers. Here's the thing about DBs. You're going to get beat. It's just part of the business. You are going to get beat, and people notice when DBs get beat more than when receivers drop footballs. That's just the way that this is. Now, can Trey Flowers be better? Of course he can, right? Every week you're trying to be better as an athlete and as a coach. But I have seen progression in Trey Flowers. There's a reason why he is a starter. There's a reason why he fought off Witherspoon. He fought off Dunbar. Well, granted, Dunbar was banged up a bit. They brought in a few guys to compete, and he's still hanging around. So that lets me know that the staff, the coaching staff, thinks enough of him to put him out there. I just need him to make a couple plays so he can get his swag.
Bump, if there's one guy that you could point to on the defensive side of the ball that you're like, hey, this guy's got to have a big day at the office, trying to slow down that running game, who would you point to?
Man, I'm going to go with Daryl Taylor. Now, granted, he's firing off the edge, but I think that what he brings to the table, it's contagious. You know what I mean? When he fires off the edge and he's getting to the backfield and he's having the quarterback step up in the pocket, or the Titans like to run that outside zone. They like to get on the edge. If he can force things inside to his tacklers, to Bobby Wagner, to Cody Barton, to Rasheem Green, to all those guys, he's the type of player that's going to affect the game and probably not have a lot of stats. Because if he can keep contained and bottle everything up, I think that's going to help when it comes to getting after the quarterback and corralling Derrick Henry.
Bump, I was blown away by Daryl Taylor in this game. I mean, we honestly haven't talked enough about his performance and what he did, and it doesn't fill up the stat sheet, but you go back and watch the film, this guy was an absolute terror on the edge, and I can't quite tell if it was against a weaker opponent at right tackle or if this guy just truly has the elite explosiveness that they were so excited to have, that they were so excited about. So how encouraging would it be? You mentioned him as the guy that you would pick. How encouraging would it be to see him have back-to-back good, solid performances?
Man, it'll be great. I think, Jake, that's what one of the things that this defense has been missing, a true pass rusher that can fire off the edge consistently, you know, with speed. KJ did his thing. KJ's not going to wow you with speed. He was more a strong guy. I'm going to keep contained, force everything inside. But this guy can do it all. At least he showed that first week. He's still young, so he's going to have his bad moments. He's still learning, and he's going to get better every week. But if he can back it up back-to-back weeks, and again, like you mentioned, it's not going to fill up the stat sheet. I just want everyone to, every now and then, man, just zone in on that edge and see what he's doing and see the pressure that he can put on these tackles. If he can do that back-to-back weeks, it's going to do nothing but help this defense and help him in his development. This team is, right, it's a veteran team, but it has a lot of young guys who you need to contribute. He's one of those guys. If he can get going early, man, this defense is going to be dynamic.
Are there any injuries that concern you heading into this game?
Concern, no. I mean, I know D's in concussion protocol. I know that Penny has his calf injury. Unfortunately, I think people were kind of bracing themselves for this. No, I think, you know, you roll with who you got. And if you are caught up on injuries in the National Football League, you're never going to sleep well at night because that stuff happens. That's why you have number twos and threes and guys who can come off the bench and get things done. But I think for the guys who are healthy, I think it's enough to win this ball game.
Bump, it's one of those things that I am watching the film and I am extremely excited and anxious to see the Tennessee Titans try to play man-to-man coverage against DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and the rest of this group, Gerald Everett. What do you want to see when they have those moments in one-on-one situations?
I want to see creativity and route running, right? Because when you are a route runner and you're playing against a man defense, it's one-on-one. It's exactly what it is. It's man-on-man. Do you have the tools to make defenders make false steps, or do you have the body language to sell something that's not there? You know, we're always selling the go as a receiver. All right, but what if he's on your hip? Do you have a start and stop? Do you have a 1-2? Do you have some sauce at the top of your route to kind of create some separation? Man on man, you have to create separation. In zone, you can kind of drift across the field. You know where the pockets are going to be. But in man, you have to be a true craftsman. You have to show that you are capable of beating the guy one-on-one. So that's what I want to see. And then you have to win the 50-50 footballs, right? These are professional players as well. They might not be the best defense in the league, but these guys are still in the National Football League, and they're going to be capable of making plays. There are going to be times where that double move doesn't work, or that stem at the top of the route doesn't work. Okay, when he's on your hip, can you make those plays? So 50-50 footballs and creativity and route running.
NFC swept all of the, or the, excuse me, the NFC West swept all of their games in week one, 4-0. If you're looking at these four matchups this weekend, I'll tell you what they are. You've got the Rams at Indy, San Francisco at Philadelphia. Arizona is hosting the Vikings, and then obviously Seattle hosting the Tennessee Titans. Are you expecting another clean sweep for the NFC West?
Possibly, and it can happen. But the game that I really want to look at is Rams at Indy. I just want to see how the Rams look against a team that the Seahawks just played, and are the Rams for real? Because Matthew Stafford looked good. Cooper Kupp looked good. That defense looked solid. It was against the Bears. You know, we don't expect much from the Bears. So I think it's a possibility that all these teams could win, but if I'm locking in on a game, it's that Rams game.
Now, why is it the Rams game specifically for you, Bump? As you're talking about these different matchups, and I agree, it's one that I'm definitely going to be keyed on. One of the other ones that I'm looking at is the Arizona Cardinals versus the Vikings. But why specifically the Rams?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Rams because they are the team I felt like that was a couple pieces away from being really good. They were solid last year. Obviously, the Hawks won the division, but beat the the Rams beat the Hawks in the first round of the playoffs. And the whole talk around this team is they're a quarterback away, right? They have everything else in place. They have a great defense, have a good offensive scheme, they have an offensive guru in McVay over there. They're a quarterback away. So now you have your quarterback. You know, is Matthew Stafford for real? And then there's a story about Matthew Stafford. You know, oh, he's been stuck in Detroit. He's only had Calvin Johnson. He hasn't had any help. Both Matthew Stafford and the Rams have been full of excuses the last couple of years, right? Now it's over. You got what you want, Matthew Stafford. Rams, you got your quarterback. You got your weapons around you. Let's see if you're for real. So they just have to prove it every single week, just like every other team. But when it comes down to this division, I'm looking at the Rams to be contenders right now for the NFC West.
Last question. It's a very quick one. It has nothing to do with the Seahawks or the NFC West or the NFC. Well, except for a little bit with Washington. But did you hear the story of the conspiracy theory on Ryan Fitzpatrick and how he hurt his hip?
I did not. Please inform
Bump.
Me.
Bump. Listen. The theory. So some guy that works at a water park in the Washington, D.C. area, called into a Washington, D.C. sports station and said, hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't injure his hip in this game. He re-aggravated an injury because I work at this water park and I saw him. He's there like 2 to 3 times a week with his family. And he went down the fast slide one day and he hurt his hip. I saw him hurt his hip. He was injured. He was limping around. And now the conspiracy theory is that Ryan Fitzpatrick hurt his hip at a water park and then re-aggravated it. And I love it. Are you buying it?
Hey, I'm buying it. I love it, man. I'm all for conspiracy theories, man. Hey, he's a family man, so it doesn't surprise
me.
You have like 7, 8 kids, you know what I mean? I could definitely see him going to the water park and hurting that hip.
Yeah, he wasn't doing something bad, right? It was like, oh, he's with his family. You just went down the all. Who among us hasn't understood that?
I mean, he's older than all of us, so it's very easily. I mean, we've all hurt ourselves.
I could hurt myself at a water park
stupid.
Today.
No doubt. I have zero doubt about it.
You don't even need the water park to hurt yourself.
First of all, you guys, that's enough from the two of you. Michael Bumpus, thank you so much for joining us. The only person I still like on this show. Always love having you on Friday. You can hear Bump on the Seahawks pre and post game show. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Bump.
All right, we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Chris Flexen and the Mariners start a 3-game series against the Royals tonight in Kansas City. Pregame starts at 4 p.m. First pitch is at 5:10 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. It is time for Headline Rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacy.
Headline number one, the Mariners, well, they'll travel to Kansas City as a reward for their 2-4 homestand. They get to face the hottest hitter on planet Earth, Salvador Perez and the Royals starting tonight. What is the real headline?
Now, if this was fresh off the printing press and it's an actual newspaper in front of you, and if it was being honest, what it would say is Mariners hit road with no choice but to sweep Royals. You have no choice.
Have to do it.
If you want a chance at the postseason, which is still alive, just a little whisper of a heartbeat there, you need to like sweep a couple series. Like maybe you can lose a game or two here and there, but it can't be to the Royals because you're going to be facing the A's.
Yeah, we had Larry Stone on from the Seattle Times yesterday, and he said in order for them to win, he believes it's going to take a 13-3 type of effort. It's going to you're only afforded maybe three or four losses down the stretch here. Yeah, exactly. If that. You have to be near perfect. So what I would suggest in terms of helping you get on the right start and heading down this winning streak, yeah, just walk Salvador Perez. Don't even give him an at-bat. Don't even give him a chance. And I think you'd be off to a better start because Salvador Perez, last time we faced him, he nearly beat the Mariners. Well, he did beat the Mariners
just
by himself.
Yeah.
So don't even give him a chance to have an impact on the game. But first and foremost, you can't load the bases with him coming up to play. How about you don't do that? That's also happened multiple times in the last time you faced the Royals. So, got to have a cleaner start.
All right, it's on you, Chris Flexen. Obviously, bullpen's been fantastic. It was a struggle with some points in this past series, but I have faith in them. Let's hope starting pitching can be consistent.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Huskies will look to score more than 17 points total as they're unbelievably a 17-point favorite over Arkansas State on Saturday. What's the real headline?
The Huskies will be looking to put up points against an Arkansas State defense that gave up, checks notes, 55 points to Memphis last week.
Yep.
It's going to be tough.
Well,
it's going to be really tough.
You underestimate their ability to not score points.
I absolutely do not. I absolutely
I think you do. This is their chance to show that John Donovan is not completely incompetent as an offensive coordinator. And they need to be able to put up points. They need to be able to make a game out of this. They need to steer they need to get the ship steered in the right direction offensively and defensively. You know what Arkansas State does do really well is
throw the ball.
They throw the ball and put points up on the board. So you have not been able to effectively stop a good ground game. Can you stop a good passing game? And that's what Arkansas State brings to the table. That is the supposed strength of this Jimmy Lake defense. It has been in years past. They need to flex that strength here in this game. And if not, they've got pretty much nothing going
well,
for them.
Well, and that's, I was going to say, that's exactly what makes it so important. It was already bad to lose to Montana in your opener when you were favored heavily. It was already
bad? It was embarrassing.
Okay, sure, yes. All of this is already bad. There's one thing you've been able to say, well, at least we have that, and it's been your passing defense. If you don't have that, everything is bad across the board.
Yeah, you have nowhere to hide.
Nothing. Yeah, you have nothing to hide behind and say, well, we've got this.
Yeah, you have nothing to lean your hat on. I mean, it's where are you at in the state of your program? I mean.
Sorry.
What?
Nothing. No, no, don't tell him. Don't.
I just messed it up again.
No, we got another Jake.
Yeah, hang your hat on. Dang it.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lean your hat on.
Just set it right there.
Don't hang it. Just lean it. Jake, don't. No, Jake.
Oh,
Jake's hiding
guy.
His face. Jake-isms are our favorite thing in the world.
They're good things.
It's a road stand.
Okay, next.
He's the cowbell of the offense.
Headline rewrite.
Jack of all aces.
Told myself I was not going to do that today.
You're literally
not
never going
Friday.
To stop. It'll happen all the time.
It's Friday. I needed a good day.
Yeah.
I had a great Friday. And then I'm driving home and all of a sudden Quandre Diggs is tweeting at me 10 years later, picks that I threw to him in Texas Stadium. Like, what the heck's going on?
Oh,
I just
so
want to have a good, happy Friday. Gosh.
Wow. Not this time around. Let's hope there's always next Friday, Jake. Our Friday's great.
Yeah, I'm having a great one.
I'm having a great day.
This is one of the best. Headline number three, the NHL released their national TV schedule for the upcoming season, and your Seattle Kraken are tied for the most appearances with 13. What's the real headline?
Sports fans in Seattle, prepare to see McElmoore throwing fish at Pike Place 13 times this season. National broadcast will
never...
I'm going
to pop some tags.
Yeah, my God.
Can't wait
It'll
to hear that.
Constant. But you know what? I'm not mad at it because it comes with really great news, which is the max 13 appearances. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, the other funny thing about that, too, is that earlier we were talking about, Nirvana. We were talking about grunge music. I mentioned plaid shirts, and everybody got on me on the text line. It's not plaid, Jake. It's flannel.
Oh.
Okay, you're right. My bad. So
but it
much
is
better.
Plaid.
It's both
correct.
Plaid. It's
yeah.
It's a plaid flannel.
Right. They're two
so
different things.
Pattern,
plaid is the print.
Flannel is the fabric.
That's exactly
yes.
right.
So,
yeah.
I mean... go kick rocks, okay?
Oh, man. Nice.
But with these 13 games, it is exciting. It is exciting to see that the Kraken are getting the opportunity to be on the national stage, to be welcomed into the NHL this way, and hopefully they can deliver with a great product.
Someone texted in saying, Jake, bro, your sons will have a very... Oh, Christian. Jake, bro, your sons will have a very profitable t-shirt business with all of your Jake-isms. And I have to tell you, and this is a betrayal of our friendship and our trust, Howdy and I want to start making t-shirts with your Jake-isms on them.
We started
this plan, I'm not kidding, over a calendar year ago, and we... and have been tracking them when they happen.
Oh, no.
My favorite shirt is going to be Everything is Coming to Fruition.
Oh, jeez.
Your hat on.
Yeah, that would
Jack
be a good
of
one.
All Aces has now surpassed it.
So, but. Yeah, that would be pretty profitable. I would agree. Now, the one thing that I'm nervous about and scared of is that I pass these Jake-isms onto them. They enter the real world and say these things in public, and then they have people that say, what did you just say? And then they say it like...
It's pulling magic out of a hat.
That's what everybody says. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that for my kids that I'm sending them off into a cruel, cruel world where they will be made fun of for my Jake-isms.
You guys keep texting in the Jake-isms. I've forgotten some of them. Someone reminded us of magic out of a hat. It's like pulling magic out of a hat. And then I prefer the cowbell that is Chris Carson. He's the cowbell of the office.
When I say magic out of a hat?
I don't know. Is that from something, or did Jake actually say that?
I think he actually said
that.
No,
he did not.
Yeah.
Well, Pulling magic out of a hat.
Sometimes I black out and I say things. It just sounds right.
We all know what you mean. It feels right. You know what I mean? All right. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Jake and Stacey Show wherever you get your podcasts. Please don't forget to rate and review. Coming up next, a look around the rest of the league with NFL headlines. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
What's that, Jake? Heard you maybe trying to make a joke over there? Because the Mac and Jack's text line sending in some Jake-isms they remember. How convenient. Thank you guys. Coming through in the clutch. How about this one? It's really at the forefront of mind. That's a Jake-ism. Another one. That's it in an eggshell.
I know I have not said that.
Someone said running back showed us he can flash in the pan. That's one.
I said that.
From the 425, Jake-isms are like Safeway brand things. You know what they are, but have to deal with Mr. Skipper instead of Dr. Pepper. I guess we can have a difference of agreement.
That's a good one.
Someone said, Jake, you did say magic. It's like pulling magic out of a hat. It was on Tuesday. They had the date and time. They wrote it down. They remembered it.
That's okay.
God.
That's all right.
Someone said, Jake-ism, November 16th, took the sails out of me. Does Jake mean wind out of my sails? all right, NFL headlines. Oh, sorry, Jake. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I do
Jake
it to myself.
Jake and Stacey is presented exclusively by CarPros Kia Tacoma. We will start with some injury news from the Vikings, who are taking on the Cardinals this weekend. Defensive end Everson Griffin has been placed in concussion protocol, but it's not after an on-field injury. It's after he hit his head in a minor car accident because he swerved to avoid hitting a deer.
I can definitely
relate.
Understand to this.
Well, no, Jake,
understand
you
this
did, no,
because
Jake, you did not avoid hitting the deer.
I didn't avoid it, but I've had deer trouble, and I empathize.
Those pesky deer.
I empathize.
Jumping
with
out of nowhere.
Anyone
1-800 deer away.
You just never know, man.
Chip,
you got to keep your
up
head on a swivel.
Jake, I can't do anything for this.
Jake. I can't do anything about these deer.
There's a whole deer in your windshield.
Yeah, but the thing is I didn't swerve. There was nothing that I could do. Whereas, and that's what you're taught
not
to do.
You could not kill a deer.
You're not supposed to, because you could set yourself for something, you know, worse. So I'm glad that Everson Griffin just only has a concussion out of this and that it wasn't a more serious situation. That's scary. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
not
it would
fun
be really scary. We were that wedding that I went to when I was out like last Thursday and Friday was by Lake Stevens. And there's a lot of really wooded areas that we were driving through to get to it because it was even remote from that. And there were deer. I'm not kidding. We were driving probably like 11:30 or midnight. Every 5 minutes driving, there was a deer or something in the road. Like, we had to keep going 25 or so all the way home because we were so afraid of hitting them.
Since I hit that deer, there has been, like, a family of deer that live in our backyard. Like, I don't know.
They don't live there.
We don't
watch it.
We don't have, we're not, like, in a wooded forest area, but they just come in our backyard all the time.
It's kind of like a weird horror story premise. Like, you killed the deer. The deer are now haunting you. You keep seeing them. And Brooke is going to be like, what deer? I don't see any deer.
No, I know they're real because Bodie freaks out every time we see them. So that's the only good thing I have going for me.
Also in the headlines, it was an argument of sorts on the sidelines for Danny Dimes and Kenny Galladay, his receiver for the Giants. So Daniel Jones, in a press conference postgame, this story from ESPN, appeared to downplay what looked like a heated discussion with wide receiver Kenny Galladay. Again, this story from ESPN. So it was late in the fourth quarter. He said that Galladay was simply frustrated. Galladay had just 3 catches for 38 yards on 8 targets, by the way, 3 of 8. And he was yelling in Jones's direction at the bench. Obviously a frustrating and heartbreaking end for the Giants, who missed it on a last second field goal thanks to an offsides violation. So it was all kinds of a mess in the final seconds of that game. Obviously frustration. Jake, how often does it happen that receivers or tight ends and quarterbacks or whoever, players in general, get heated toward each other and angry at each other in the sideline, and it's actually just nothing?
I mean, I want to say it's very commonplace. It's not unusual, but it's really not. I mean, you should have a good, healthy relationship between quarterback and receiver that you're able to talk things through and not yell things at each other in frustration. It does happen. You know, it does happen, and you're able to work through it. But when you're in a new relationship like this with Galladay and Daniel Jones, it's not something you want to see this early in the season. You want to see a more successful, established relationship before you start getting in tiffs like this. Like, that gets you into a situation where you do become worried about, will this be something that lingers? Will this be something that continues? And will this become a problem for the New York Giants on offense? So obviously we don't know all the details, and it could be something that they just move past and move forward and it helps them become better. But I believe that there's ways to manage this. I mean, we've seen this between Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin before, right? Those two guys, I mean, really, it was more Doug yelling at Russ than the other way around. But, you know, we've seen things like that. We've seen, you know, great receivers in the past be upset and frustrated. I mean, those guys, if you think about it, a lot of people pan them as these divas. These guys are high, ultra competitors. Think about this. If you are a highly competitive person and you are extremely talented and you know if you get the ball thrown your way or you have it in your hands that you can impact the game in a positive way and you're just not getting the ball, how frustrating that would be. You are so reliant on everyone around you. The protection, the quarterback looking your way, the coverage dictating whether you get the ball or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many things have to go right in order for you to get the football, and it can be extremely frustrating for those receivers. So I understand, but, you know, there's always been those conversations of like, hey, like, I got it. Let me do my job. You do yours, I'll do mine. We'll get this thing right.
After a blowout loss in week 1, the Packers now have to put pass rusher Za'Darius Smith on the injured reserve. Unclear how long he'll be out. New IR rules dictate you have to miss a minimum of 3 games. Some guys will take longer because you can't return to practice until after those 3. So at least for the next 3 weeks, they will be out without their star pass rusher. News going from bad to worse for the Green Bay Packers. Are they still one of the powers that be in the conference?
I would
say yes. The answer is yes, Jake. Come on.
I mean, I would say yes, but
come on.
Stacey, I am concerned about the Green Bay Packers. Now, this next game, it's not going to reveal whether or not this team is bad or good. I mean, the Green Bay Packers should be fine, but I am concerned and I am worried about the dysfunction that is still residing within that locker room, within that organization. Aaron Rodgers is a bristly guy, and he's not an easy guy to get along with, and he's made his feelings felt. They are very known, and they have not been put aside. They have not been put to bed. They are still very much there. So can they turn things around? Can they get things back on track, and can they have the good vibes going again offensively after a year being removed of being the MVP? I would sure like to think so.
Folks over at NFL Network made their bold predictions. That's weird. We'll have to contact them about
bold
that.
Bold predictions. Different than bold takes.
I guess, but man, it's
still
very
bold.
Clear ripoff.
Wow.
Maurice Jones-Drew, you're not going to like this one. Warning, you're not going to like this one. Maurice Jones-Drew predicts that Derrick Henry makes up for last week's 58-yard rushing performance and says that he'll pick up 150 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground against Seattle. That is what he's predicting.
Yeah, well, I don't really take Maurice Jones-Drew's predictions and look at them that closely and think of them as gospel. So I think he is going to be dead wrong about this, and I would really not like to see that. It's going to be hard to keep Derrick Henry down all season long. It's going to be nearly impossible to keep him away from back-to-back 100, you know, keep him away from not having a 100-yard game for the second game in a row. But I do believe that the Seahawks are able to effectively bottle him up, and it doesn't really have anything to do with Derrick Henry and his ability. It has everything to do with how that offensive line just looked so terrible last week.
Yeah, they were really awful. But you know what kind of surprises me is the one thing Seattle was good at on defense. I know that they struggled early with the pass defense, better with sacks in the second half. So they kind of went back and forth there in the pass defense. Run defense was solid. I mean, they had some games where they allowed over 100 yards. The Vikings come to mind immediately. Overall, though, run defense was solid, like wire to wire.
They were solid, and the reason why is because it was a group effort. It was a group effort. They worked well together in gap responsibilities and filling in their run assignments and running down the lane and filling in. And you see Quandre Diggs and Jamal Adams running with their hair on fire, trying to be a part of the party, even with Quandre Diggs being 15, 20 yards deep. He's still running down the lane and trying to be a part of the action, and that's what you're going to have against Derrick Henry. You are going to have guys be not only disciplined, but be explosive. You need, as Michael Bumpus was on with us earlier, you need Daryl Taylor to be disruptive on the edge and create a lot of problems. You need Puna Ford and Brian Monet and Al Woods to push that line of scrimmage back and really suffocate Derrick Henry and not allow him to have comfortable running lanes.
All right, the two biggest spreads of the weekend belong to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Atlanta Falcons game, as well as the Cleveland Browns and Houston Texans game. I'm going to pick one of these to be an upset. I'll tell you what it is in Hype Train next, and you're going to tell me whether or not you agree. I love this game. It's coming your way. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Just saw a text on the Mac and Jack's text line. Are you guys taking calls today? Why, yes, we are. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are taking callers. I'll give you the number at the end of this segment, but the question will be, who's the most important player for the Seahawks this weekend? That's your question. So you've got a couple minutes here to think of your answer. Who's the most important player for the Seahawks this weekend? I'll give out that number at the end of the segment. Right now,
Stacey, you're also forgetting an important part of that text in.
Uh-huh.
Are you taking calls today, my friends? Very bold of them. The bold take Friday. Bold of them to assume we are friends. But you know, you hanging out with us, so you
I'm
went bold today.
We'll this person.
We'll definitely be friends.
Friend of the show.
And
maybe
friend of the show.
The good callers, we dub them as friends of the show.
Ooh.
That's exactly right. Unless I hate their call.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And you'll they tell it to their face, right?
You that's right.
No. I'm going to be like, thanks so much,
you just,
Kevin.
Like,
thanks for calling.
Get my ear like you've done in the past.
And then like, they're going, I've never done that. Never done that before.
Sure.
Never, ever, ever. I have not. That's a lie. You're making me sound like an awful person. Let's go down to the station. It's time for Hype Train. All right, this was the most popular bold take for Bold Take Friday, so I'm using it to kick off Hype Train. This is the Hype Train. Tell me if you're boarding it. Seahawks hold Derrick Henry to under 80 yards rushing.
I am going to get on this Hype Train. I'm boarding this Hype Train. Now, the reason why I'm boarding this Hype Train is more out of optimism than it is me thinking that's actually going to happen. But the reason why I believe I'm optimistic heading into this week to potentially shut down the league's best running back, one of the toughest running backs we've ever seen in years, is the fact that I believe that this group is playing so much better together. They are gap sound. They are getting their run fits right. And when you talk about Daryl Taylor's ability to shut down the edge like he did versus the Colts, it turns everything back inside. And that's what you have to do. You have to turn everything inside, turn it into the kill zone, and allow Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks, Jamal Adams, allow them to be there. And like I said before, there's two aspects about this. You have to win the line of scrimmage battle. You have to win the 6-inch battle with the defensive line. and the initial line of scrimmage play. The second part about that is you need Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks, Jamal Adams. They need to be flying downhill, violent, and meeting Derrick Henry at the line of scrimmage. They've got to make a party to the ball. I want to see all 11 hats finishing to that football. That's going to be a big key to this thing.
You know when the last time Derrick Henry finished under 100 yards in back-to-back games was? October 27th and November 3rd of 2019.
Wow.
He has not gone back-to-back games without 100 yards since about 2 years ago.
That's what I'm like.
That's insane.
I am not boarding this hype train for that reason.
I'm not boarding it either.
No.
I think
this
guy is determined to get his yardage.
Yes, I'm still. I think that you can get a win just by being a high scoring affair. But I like the Titans secondary has issues. We've talked about it all week. But I don't think. I would love to be eating crow on Monday. I think Derrick Henry is going to have a fine game. He's one of the hardest players in the league to stop for any defense.
According to Pro Football Reference, one of Derrick Henry's nicknames is Tractorcito. I've never heard of that in my life.
Well, they have. Have you guys ever gone on like a Pro Football Reference or anything and you see nicknames and you're like, when was this person's nickname at all?
Yeah, Lou Gehrig with biscuit pants.
Never. It's like, I'm convinced it's like a Wikipedia. Someone hears it once and they just add it in there and it becomes official somehow. All right. One boarding that one, leaving the station with just Jake aboard. Next train in. This one's a challenge, okay? It's a challenge. We all know what our answer would be, but I'm making us choose one. Biggest favorites of this weekend's games in the NFL are the Browns over the Texans and the Bucks over the Falcons. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding, and I'm almost making you do it. One of these will be an upset. For fun, if you want, make your case.
For fun?
Yeah.
For fun.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get on board of any of these hype trains. I'm sorry. I'm trying to convince myself that the Texans have a chance over the Browns and the Falcons. This isn't happening. I mean, these should be two very lopsided victories for both teams. They're just too talented. They're two good teams facing against, you know, two teams that are really struggling and are trying to find themselves. I know the Texans were able to beat the Jags and do it well. You had the quarterback for the Texans. Oh, I'm blanking on his name.
Tyrod Taylor.
He looked fantastic. I mean, he looked great. And I think he's a really underrated player in this league in terms of fringe starter, backup quarterback. But, the Browns are way too talented, and I think they're going to really want to get things back on track and get things right after letting a victory slip through their fingers with the Chiefs.
Curtis.
Of these two, the only one I could feasibly see happening is Houston over Cleveland because it's the Tyrod Taylor revenge game.
Ooh.
Taking on the Cleveland Browns back in Ohio. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to let it go. I will let this one go by.
I'm not doing it either. I'm letting both of these. I wanted to put you guys on the spot and give a challenge that I'm not willing to do. So I guess we're all on board that those are the safest locks of the weekend. Next train. All right, going Mariners for this one. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. The Mariners will bring back one of Yusei Kikuchi or Kyle Seager. It cannot be either.
I know. I don't want them bringing back Yusei Kikuchi unless it was a one-year deal, that it was a player option that Kikuchi takes on himself. I just have a hard time believing that he would do that. Personally, I don't know why. But I just feel like if he's not going to get that and he's not going to get a bigger contract somewhere else, maybe he goes back. Maybe he goes back to, Japan and finishes out his career there. I think that's a definite possibility. And with Kyle Seager, I just get nervous. The reason why I get nervous about it is because he has produced in terms of RBIs, in terms of home runs, and he's been a gold glover at third base. He is locked down. He is a bigger factor on this team than people give him credit for. But in order for the franchise to progress forward, I do believe that the Mariners are going to have to move on from both players.
So not boarding this train.
I'm not boarding this train.
All right. Curtis, hype train is that the Mariners bring back one of Yusei Kikuchi or Kyle Seager.
I think I'm actually going to board a train here. And I think it will be Yusei Kikuchi rather than Kyle Seager that has a much better chance of returning. Like Jake said, he has the one-year player option, which Kikuchi can exercise if the Mariners choose to decline the four-year option, which by all accounts, they're going to. I don't see any universe where they exercise that four-year option for Kikuchi, but Kikuchi's probably going to scan the market and see, you know, can I do any better than 1 year and like $13 million, which is his player option. I don't think he's going to be able to do better than that kind of money. So I think Kikuchi is back on the one-year deal, but not a four-year deal, and I don't think Kyle Seager's back.
All right, that is Hype Train for today. We're turning it over to you guys, looking at callers. Here's your question. Who is the most important player for the Seahawks this weekend? And here is the number to call. You have two choices. You can call 866-979-3776, or you can call 206-421-3776. I'll read them one more time. 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Both get you connected to the studio. And your question is, who is the most important player for the Seahawks this weekend? Your calls are next.